Hey everybody, great news. This is a brand new podcast that I'm launching. It's called The Job Market Shit Show, and I'm going to run a few of the episodes here on Great Monday's feed, and you can enjoy that. But if you want to keep listening, please go over and type in the Job Market Shit Show apostrophe or asterisk for the I into your browser and follow along on the main on the Job Market Shit Show podcast feed. It's also a Substack, so subscribe there. Thanks so much for listening. Really appreciate it. And with that, enjoy the show. Evan S. is a senior product manager and worked at Amazon. With that good credibility on his resume, he applied for three product roles at NVIDIA. He even had a senior referral. And then he waited 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And then within minutes of each other, all three applications were declined. No interviews, no screens, no nothing. He asked his friend, a senior engineer inside, to check the system. And what turns out is that no one even looked at the applications, not Evan's, not anyone else's. And the roles had been open for weeks. What was going on? Evan looked closer and found something else happened. That, quote, they hadn't hired in almost a year. Not one person in product. The roles weren't real. Look, I understand that that's a strong claim. And to be clear, there are definitely reasonable explanations for job postings that don't lead to hires. Visa requirements, backfills, internal backfills, roles that change midstream. But Evan observed something different. He said, from a balance sheet side, there's a big difference between saying, we're hiring product leaders to take us to the next step, and saying, we're not hiring anyone. In other words, sometimes a job posting isn't really a job at all. It's a signal. It's a story to investors, to the markets, and maybe even to competitors. It's the story that says, look, we're building, we're growing. How exciting. From the outside, there's really no way to tell the difference. And to us job seekers, a posting like that looks like a real opportunity. But in fact, it might just be an apparition. I'm Josh Levine. I've spent the last 20 years paying attention to how work actually works. Culture, incentives, and the stories we tell ourselves about capitalism doing whatever it's supposed to be doing. This podcast, it's me trying to understand what's happening in real time by talking to job seekers and job hirers about what they're experiencing and maybe eventually what to do about it. I can't promise any answers, but I do have a lot of questions. This is the Job Market Shit Show. Question four, is this an open role or bullshit? Ghost jobs and PR trickery. Look, even if we take Evan, the most generous interpretation of what Evan is describing, even if we assume no bad intent, there is still a cost. For job seekers, a posting isn't a narrative. It's our time, it's our hope, it's another carefully written resume, it's another late night, another round of waiting. I spoke to Ricky Goldenberg, who's an executive and career coach who has worked with more than 400 professionals through pivotal career moments. And she has seen the aftermath of these job posting shenanigans. Employers are doing a lot of shitty things lately, she told me, because they can. In this case, she's talking about those typical things that applicants struggle with, the no responses, the six interview rounds, all the stuff that we've discussed. But it points to a larger power dynamic. Ricky is the first person I heard the term ghost jobs from. Let's define it here just so we can be on level ground. It's one of those jobs that, for one reason or another, doesn't lead to anyone getting a job. You might want to add ill intent to that definition, but I'll leave that to you to include or not. It's, I think, a little bit presumptuous. In any case, Ricky's experienced ghost jobs, not as PR, as Evan describes, but as bench building. She told me, I know someone who went through five rounds and the company said, wow, you've passed everything, but we don't have a role for you right now. They, it turns out, were posting roles to interview candidates and keep them on a bench for the next 6 months. as a fast track option. She's seen more than a few of these job postings that organizations use to, quote, have optionality. They keep a pool of vetted candidates for potential future openings and fill in if there happens to be hiring freezes after hiring freezes are over or reorgs. It's an employer's market, and for sure, they can be pickier. They post these roles to have a list for the future rather than just fill an immediate role. And honestly, I don't think this is a bad practice in and of itself, but they need to disclaim it up front. They don't, however, and it seems maybe obvious in hindsight, because if they did, they wouldn't have the leverage. They wouldn't have as many people applying if they just said, hey, this is for maybe a role in 6 months to a year. That feels unfair. Ricky says there's an information gap, and they're holding the information. When a role may or may not be real, when companies don't disclose what stage they're actually in, when candidates are taken through what she calls the full dog and pony show, the damage isn't just wasted effort. It's a degradation of trust, of motivation. I'm pretty sure most of you can all relate at this point. You've experienced at least some of this. If job postings are becoming a form of corporate storytelling to investors in the market, if they're hedges against future reorgs and change, it's the applicants that are paying the price in effort, will, and hope. And this isn't likely to stop. Short-term, quarter-driven, cost-cutting incentives encourage posting roles for future optionality rather than hiring right now. And even if it impacts the candidate, the company doesn't feel any adverse effects, so why would they stop? A little side note, not all auto rejections and non-responses are technically ghost jobs, even though they might feel that way. I've talked in previous episodes about the self-reinforcing problem of the escalating number of resumes that AI tech is allowing us to accelerate, and how it's burying these unprepared recruiting systems. In a recent piece for The Atlantic, Annie Lowry describes how applicants send out dozens, sometimes hundreds of applications and hear nothing back. And in the article, she says that job seekers now describe their applications going into a void. We know this system exists, and the kind of, just crestfallen experience it leaves us with. And it's true, right? This is a real thing, but it isn't necessarily, those aren't necessarily ghost jobs, even if it feels just as shitty. I don't blame hiring managers of the orgs themselves for these ghost jobs. It's a function of misaligned incentives, negative externalities that don't show up on balance sheets, and a broken hiring system. They're a symptom of a system where job postings are doing more than one job at the same time. Companies want them to signal momentum. They want to warm their talent pipelines. They want to reassure investors. And somewhere in all of that, the people applying are being used to do that work. Right now, it does not feel like we have an option. But I will say we can approach the process with a little more awareness and ask better questions to determine if applying is worth our time. All this automation makes it very easy for us to assume that all jobs and job postings are equal, but some of them may in fact be a figment of a company's imagination. If this helped you think a little different about how you approach job seeking or job hiring, please share it with one person who might also benefit. If you have a story about looking for work, landing a job, or hiring, let's talk. I want to talk to you. Email stories@thejobmarketshitshow.com, and we'll send you a link to schedule a call. Rather read or watch The Job Market Shit Show? Find us on Substack and YouTube. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.